Lots going on today at City Council. Obviously, a new police agency was approved. Not sure what that means because the city, as I said in the carryout, says there's a third. We still got some work to do. Still got more to do with transparency. With all the talk about transparency and police investigations, the Chicago Reader's cover story this week has to do with transparency in budgets. The story's called Inside the Chicago Police Department's Secret Budget. Every year, police take millions of dollars from ordinary Chicagoans and spend it behind closed doors. It's a story about seizures and forfeitures. You get arrested while you're in your car, and the police impound the said car. Then they tell you they want to keep it. And that car is now the property of the police, who sell it, split the profits with other agencies. But where does the money go? And how is it spent? That's what this investigation looks into. It's really a story about a practice that's been used in police departments and state's attorney's offices for years. But in some states, it's finally coming to an end, or at least reforming. But not here in Illinois. Not yet. Joining me in studio are members of Chicago Reader's story. One of the co-writers, Freddie Martinez. He's the director of the Lucy Parsons Lab. And Chicago Reader deputy editor, Robin Amer. Thanks for being here, you guys. And good to see you again, Robin.
Thank
We've
you,
worked
Justin.
Together for a long time. All right, so let's talk about this. Where does this story come from? Freddie, why don't we start with you? I mean, what piqued your interest in finding out about a secret budget?
Sure. So I started investigating a separate surveillance issue. I started investigating stingrays, or MC catchers, these surveillance devices that capture information about people in a general area. And I noticed that there was money coming out of this thing called the 1505, which I was like, what is that? So like any journalist would do, I started sending Freedom of Information Act requests. I started asking questions, and it turns out that it comes from this practice called civil asset forfeiture, which is exactly what you described. You get arrested or something like that, the police will take your car or your money, and then they'll move through this process called civil asset forfeiture, where you'll get a letter in the mail, and they'll say, we want to keep this cash, we want to keep your car. And then I was like, well, what is that? How big is the budget? How much money are you taking? Where is it going? And that was about a year ago, and so we've been following this for quite some time.
It's an amazing story, Robin, and it's one that, I mean, reading it, it's hard to believe, because really it's about the lack of transparency. This forfeiture, seizure,
civil asset forfeiture.
Civil asset forfeiture. That's not new in the sense that if you get arrested and convicted, they take your car and they take your property if it was involved in the crime. But this is about where that money is actually going and why it's secretive. I mean, the Chicago police are not telling us where that money's at.
Absolutely, Justin. That is the big picture here. If you take a step back and you think about it, you know, every year the city goes through a public budgeting process, right? The mayor proposes a budget to the city council. The city council vets it. They have department commissioners come and testify about why they need the money that they say they need. And then they pass a budget. And in last year's public budget, the Chicago Police Department was given an astounding $1.45 billion, right? They get more money than any other city agency.
Because the schools are a different agency,
right? Because schools are technically separate, as is like the Parks Department. But we found essentially what I would describe as a secret slush fund, money that is in the control of the police department, that is not vetted by the city council, that is not vetted by the mayor, in fact, which is subject to no public oversight or transparency of any kind, right? So if the police department says, I want to spend money from the slush fund, they only need internal approval, right? Not even approval from the superintendent, just approval from like
from a
division commander, a division chief. So it absolutely starts with oversight. And I think, you know, we can go into the numbers as far as what we found, like how much they spent. But that's the big picture is,
it's millions of dollars.
Tens of millions of dollars. So we went as far back as 2009, which is the year that the police department started keeping electronic records. So it was just easier for them to provide us with documents and easier for us to get them. And we started with the question of, okay, well, we know that there are these bank accounts that are tied to civil forfeiture. So let's find out how much is in those bank accounts. And we obtained essentially like ledgers that showed us how much money was in those bank accounts. And we found that over the last 7 years, sorry, since 2009, that police have essentially seized and forfeited more than $72 million. Wow. And they haven't kept all of that money. They have to divide that money between
the
Cook County State's Attorney's Office and the Illinois State Police.
But this is what I find interesting, especially when it comes to State's Attorney's Office, and it's in the story, which you can find at ChicagoReader.com. the concept that the state's attorney's office will line item budget this. They put it in saying this is where we get the money, and that's public. It's really about the idea that this practice is secretive, because for me, the bigger picture that I take from this article is this is concept of almost like for-profit policing, where they can, you know, and you use one subject in the article that it's kind of a gray area whether or not she should get her car back. She wants her car. She wasn't convicted. Her son was convicted. There's a lot going in, and you start to realize as you peel back that, you know, there are the train has left the station on that one. But that's what it really that the idea of keeping a secret budget means. Are, you know, do you bring up issues like not only what they're using it for, but, you know, are they essentially using the illegally, or, you know, in a gray area, for seizing and using forfeiture to fund a slush fund?
Absolutely. So if you just take the phrase for-profit policing, maybe we should just break down for people what we mean by that. So again, the police department is the agency that takes this stuff, right? They arrest you, they take your cash. They're also the agency that gets to spend that money that they decide to keep. So, you know, lack of oversight, lack of transparency, plus they get to decide what to do with the money. So one of the people we talked to for this story used the phrase the sword and the purse, right? The police have both the sword and the purse. They have the power to take the money, and then they have the power to spend the money, which if you're concerned about, you know, but the potential for misconduct or abuse of power, it raises some red flags right there. Right.
Freddie, exactly. Let me ask you, from your reporting, what are they spending it on?
So this is my concern, just as going through this investigation, was a lot of it was things that you would think would be in a budget. So, for example, we've got almost $100,000 a month being spent on enterprise, what they call fleet services.
This is car rentals, right? They rent cars from enterprise.
Right, exactly. Okay. You would think that would be a thing that they would put in a budget. There are also squad cars. There are also undercover cell phones that they would equip for, you know, undercover police officers. Things that are very much in the everyday war on
drugs. You would expect to see in a public
They're
budget.
Like routine day-to-day expenses, basically.
Right. So that can cause red flags, right? Because if you're thinking that you're paying for the war on drugs through money that you seize from people through the war on drugs, you see how it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. So that's a big thing. That was the majority of what we found. There's also this surveillance budget, which is where a lot of, like, for example, the blue light cameras that you would see across Chicago, that money comes from this fund. Then there's also like automatic license plate readers, which will scan your car as you're going through the city and record that.
Not to mention the stingrays, which we started the conversation about.
Correct.
And that's being able to crack cell phones in any area. Tell me what that is.
Yeah. So the stingrays, that's a kind of a generic name. So what they do is they will broadcast as a fake cell phone tower and gather information of everyone in a given region. And that could be tens of people, hundreds of people in a city like downtown Chicago. That's thousands of people. And that gathers all kinds of identifying information. Also things like who you're calling, how long those calls last. Very kind of revealing details about, you know, if I'm calling like maybe my doctor, that's very revealing. And so that's where we started. And then that's what we found, that 9% or about 10% of the budget goes to surveillance budget.
And we should say that, you know, we calculated based on like literally hundreds of FOIA documents that the police kept about $47 million through forfeiture, of which they spent about $36 million. And we didn't analyze all of their purchases. We only analyzed purchases greater than $5,000 because we figured those would be the most interesting. So we should say that of these larger purchases that are known, right, because we did get some redacted documents back where they were like, we're not going to tell you what we spent this amount of money on. So of the known larger purchases, like 90% were routine expenses and 10% were these surveillance related expenses, which again is significant because this is a secret budget. There is no oversight. There is no accountability. There's no requirement that they disclose these purchases to the public. So you have the police buying controversial surveillance equipment that they are using to spy on Chicagoans without having to disclose those purchases.
Because it's controversial, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they say in their documents, it's amazing. They literally say in these FOIA documents, which you can see on our website, this is a secret. Don't tell people that we are buying this.
Right, exactly.
Freddie Martinez is the director of the Lucy Parsons Lab, Chicago Reader, deputy editor Robin Amer, also in studio. The story is at thechicagoreader.com. We just got a couple minutes left. What I really love about the story is this is a practice that American police departments from all over, from different states, have been routine. But there has been a crackdown. There has been some changes. It's essentially when you hear the buzzwords police reform, a lot of it is around this concept. You hear states like New Mexico, others who actually passed legislation that said, you know what? You just need to make it in the general. It needs to go to general operating, so we know what it is, to take away this sword purse concept.
Right. So the reform efforts usually break down along two lines. So again, let's just remind people that this is civil forfeiture, which means the police legally, this is all legal.
It's all legal.
Can keep your assets or keep your money even if you're not convicted of a crime, right? Even if the charges against you are dropped and the courts say there's no merit to these charges, police can legally still keep your stuff. So a lot of states are moving to say, you know what, we want to get rid of civil forfeiture and only have criminal forfeiture.
So if you're convicted, we can take
your stuff. Yeah, so if you're convicted, we can keep your stuff. And if not, we have to give it back by law. That's one. The second type of reform effort is this oversight issue to say, okay, even if we have civil forfeiture and the police can seize and keep your assets, even if you haven't been convicted of a crime, it at least has to go back to the general operating budget so that the same people who are taking the stuff are not allowed to decide how to spend it.
It's pretty simple. Is that something you see happening in Illinois? You talk in the article about the powerful lobby. I mean, there's a powerful lobby that wants to keep this budget secret.
There have been efforts at reform, although they have so far been quashed. It was very interesting last week to see longtime Alderman Ed Burke talking about this story on the floor of the city council. And what was really interesting to me in hearing him and then also the mayor's budget director, Alex Holt, talking about this story was that they didn't say, wow, this is a potentially abusive process. Maybe we should consider reforming the process so that they aren't taking this money in the first place. Their reaction was more, we want to control this money. We want to have the ability to decide how it's spent, which is legit. There should be oversight.
I mean, that is part of the story. I mean, the idea that they want to do that.
Exactly. And one of the things that we mentioned in our story is that the police are not candid to the public about how civil asset forfeiture should work, but they are very candid to each other. So, for example, in the IACP, which is a police chief conference, which was in Chicago last year, one of the things that we document in our story is that they say to each other, like, I want to take all the money I can, and if states want to crack down on this, we should push back on it very heavily.
And to their defense, if you're going to say civil forfeiture is a thing, that they want that money, and police respond and they say, this is great. The idea of being able to take away assets from drug dealers, from gangbangers, from things of that nature, that's how you win the war on the streets.
But the war on drugs is also losing. You know, this stuff started in like the late 80s. The idea was we're going to take millions of dollars from these high-end Pablo Escobar types. The average seizure, according to the Illinois, the Institute of Justice, is $550. So even by that measure, they're losing, right? So you can make that argument, but without actually analyzing the numbers and investigating this stuff, you know, you can't take this stuff on faith. And that's why it's important to do these investigations.
And you're right, Justin. I mean, the police obviously aren't on the show right now to defend their use of the practice. So I will just tell you what they have said publicly about why they think this practice is an important tool in their arsenal, especially in fighting the war on drugs. What they will say is, we want to dismantle these drug rings. We want to make sure that they don't have money at their disposal. They don't have assets at their disposal. And so we have to do this in order to win this war. But I think, as Freddie rightly pointed out, you know, critics will scrutinize that opinion and say, I'm sorry, that doesn't hold water. Because if you look at people like, for example, Willie Mae Swansea, the 72-year-old woman who we profiled in the story, I mean, the police took her PT Cruiser, which was worth like $1,400. When her son was arrested and accused of distributing like less than 15 grams of heroin. So she owned the car. Her name was on the title. She was never accused of a crime. And yet it was her car that was taken and she suffered the consequences of her son's actions.
I would say the one thing out of this story, and it's a great story, go check it out at chicagoreader.com, is the fact that this is a secret budget. It's just the idea if this was public, I don't know if we'd be having this conversation. The story is called Inside the Chicago Police Department's Secret Budget. It's at chicagoreader.com. Freddie Martinez is the director of the Lucy Parsons Lab and Chicago Reader's. Robin Amer is the deputy editor over there. Great to see you guys. Thanks for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin. Thanks.